All right, it's what, 6:02? 6:03? Call the meeting to order. Let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
All right, Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, we do have quorum, yay. Eva I know George is traveling, Bridget's online, Kristen's online as well. I reached out to Valerie, and Eva is not feeling well. So we'll continue.
I'm on.
Oh, you're on. Thank you.
So am I. Thanks, Ken.
Yep, I hope you feel better. Oh, yep, I saw you there. And Hersula, I love your
Thank
photo.
you.
Public comments, I didn't see any come in earlier, and I don't see anybody with their hand raised. Would anybody like to make public comments? Moving on. Approval of previous meeting minutes. They sent out the minutes from the previous meeting. Everybody should have had an opportunity to run through them.
Yeah.
Any corrections or adjustments or changes? Okay, I'd love a motion to accept the minutes as presented.
I move we accept the minutes as planned.
I second.
Beautiful, thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
All right.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion so passed. Minutes approved. We'll get them posted. They're currently posted as draft.
You saw what Richard said.
We never know what the rules are, so we're just going to post the drafts
Yeah. Just do what
and
Richard said.
make sure the audios are up in a timely fashion. It's fine. So they'll be posted as draft, and then they'll be converted from draft to
Ultimately,
not
he's
draft.
the one that decides whether we're in compliance, and so
So
we'll just
I
do it the way he's been.
and I checked with Kendall, and she said, whatever, just keep him happy. I completely agree.
And we did that with PDSA. Like we followed that when we weren't compliant 9 years ago. We've been doing that ever since then. We've been good.
Yep. All right, we're moving right on to the head of school report.
Great. That was good.
So give me a minute to share.
I'm not contagious, so you're safe.
Scott, how are you feeling? Better than you were?
There every day.
All right, so if I speak, everyone can hear me online?
Yes.
All right, we are going to start with the building level updates. So for the K through five schools, we are entering our cycle three of instructional win, where we are closely progress monitoring our students. We have conferences tomorrow for all students K through 12. So that is a great time for staff to speak with parents specifically about how their student is progressing from marking period three. And marking period three is done at the end of the month on April 1st. Third through fifth grade students are working toward their SBAC goals. We are taking SBAC at the end of April and the beginning of May, and their reward will be a swim party if they meet their goal. And they are planning end of the year testing for incoming kindergarten and kindergarten orientation. We're trying to get an idea of the students that we have applying for next year. I want to make sure that we are giving them initial skill evaluation so we have a better idea of placing them into classes. As for behavior, schools are focused on cohesion and coherence within and across schools around behavior expectations. If you've had a chance to be in any of our school buildings, we put up matrices about behaviors on how you should behave in a classroom, in a hallway, in the bathroom, in the cafeteria. Admin teams are also continuing to monitor data trends to inform procedures and planning for next year. Listed below are a bunch of upcoming elementary school events, but some of the big things is that we do have conferences tomorrow. And we have a professional development day on March 20th, which is this Friday. I'm going to skip over to high school because we have a lot of big things that we were just recently awarded. Melissa Tracy was recently awarded the Delaware Advisory Council on Career and Technical Education, where she received Outstanding CTE High School Educator of the Year, which is a really big deal. So congratulations to Melissa Tracy. Kathleen Lagulo, who was our ag science teacher in the high school, was celebrated this month as an all-pro teacher by the Philadelphia Eagles. Also, good things coming out of that. Today we had the PSATs. Today we had the PSATs and we have SATs on Tuesday. So a lot of our high school students were asynchronous today, so the kids could take the test in class. And then we had SATs on next Tuesday. Scheduling is coming up as well for the high school. So the course catalog, is, we're aiming to have that finished by the end of this month so that students can start picking their classes for next year. Overall for behavior, they had a great time at their main event field trip, and they are gearing up for their next PBIS trip in April. For high school, they are proud of their women's varsity basketball team. They reached the playoffs, which was a first for Odyssey, so congratulations to them. And they have a spring blood drive coming up, and that is on Monday, March 30th. So if you are a community member and you would like to contribute to that, we will be sending out signups, and that's Monday, March 30th. To recognize our high school students for their third marking period awards, we have the Trident Ceremony, and that will be held on April 17th. I'm going to skip down to the CIA update, which is super long. You can blame me for that. Lots of good things happening, though. We have CharterCon on Friday on our Professional Development Day, which is where all charter schools send selected members from their charter to go to a conference. This year, it's being held at Delaware State University. It's hosted by the Delaware Charter School Network, so Kendall Massett puts on the event. We have three presenters from Odyssey, Alex Milonis, Marianthe McElwee, and Brittany Henning, who will be presenting on behalf of our school. For K through five professional development, part of one of our state bills that we are submitting is that we need to have all teachers trained in K through three science of reading. And we need to have that done by the end of next school year. We have decided to take the approach of training the trainer. So we have sent two teachers to letters training, and they spent the week in Dover last week so that they are going to be able to provide professional development to our teachers here on site instead of us outsourcing that. So we sent Amanda Horning, who is our K through two reading interventionist, and Ronnie Gates, who is our 3 through 5 reading interventionist. So they will be providing all of our teachers with that training so that we are in compliance with the state bill that's due next year. On Friday, we also have Amplify training. So we are, our current reading program for K through five is Amplify CKLA. We're going to be moving to the third edition for next year. So they are coming to give everybody a preview. And Amplify is also one of the math programs we are looking at to adopt. And they're going to give us, all the teachers, just like a brief overview of what that entails. So it gives the teachers an idea whether that is going to be the best program for us to move forward with math. Other than that, I'm going to go to the next part. For middle of the year benchmarking, all K through five benchmarking has been done. Data is being collected so that we can make instructional decisions for the remainder of the school year, especially before we have our SBAC testing coming up. For grades 6 through 12, we are supporting our math and ELA teachers in strengthening our performance on standardized testing. So specifically, we're using IABs, which are interim assessment blocks. And we are using Tools for Teachers, which is like an online platform provided to us by the state, and it's available through DESA or SBAC. And it's practice questions that teachers are embedding every single day into their lessons so that the students are used to seeing those types of questions before just taking the SBAC assessment. So they're just constantly getting that practice. What else are we looking at? We are also looking at adding credentials into our high school and middle school programs next year and to our academics. So aligning these with our CTE pathways, we're looking at providing students, not only are they going to be enrolled in a pathway, but what can they walk away with a credential that they could use immediately after graduation. or while they're in school. So we're still finalizing that, but I'd be happy to share like our final product with you guys at the April board meeting, because there's going to be a lot of good things coming out
yeah,
of that.
I'd love to. Yeah, sounds good.
For assessments, again, we had the PSATs today. Fourth and eighth grade students participated in the NAEP assessment, which is the national assessment. We have somebody come in and they do the testing for us. So that happened at the end of February and the beginning of March. Advent testing happened for our immersion students last month in February. And April and May, we're going to be doing our SBAC testing for grades 3 through 11, as well as all of our AP testing. It's testing season. It's happening mm-hmm. super quick, right when we get back from break.
I have a question for you before you go. This NAP test that we did, right? Some reports were released not too long ago from NAP, National Reports. Are you familiar with them?
Me, not personally, but I know that our testing coordinator is.
Okay. It would be nice if we look at those reports that were released at the national level not too long ago. Some of them were omitted during COVID, but they came back and they did some recovery. And then look at our scores and see how we compare with national averages and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know we do a comparison to the state, but we could do a national level comparison as well. Yeah,
that would be nice. Because yeah. Yes, we get a full picture.
Yes, I've seen our state comparisons, yeah, but I, we could do a national
level. By the way, the results were not good.
Okay.
Okay, so but we so
national would be a challenge because there's only 13 states that use SBAC. So it wouldn't be an apples to apples comparison.
That's fine. No,
that's, yeah. Yeah, whatever it is, did.
But you know, we can look at them as a baseline, basically, right?
It'd be a shaky yardstick, but
yeah.
Okay.
We, I mean, against Alabama, we'd look really good.
Actually,
well,
not.
The thing is that if there's, I mean, living in PISA, it's not, or the NAEP. The NAEP is
the national one.
The one that is national.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking
about. The SBAC is not.
I'm not talking about the SBAC. I'm talking about the NAEP. Yes.
So we just put the NAEP right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know how quickly those scores come out. I don't remember.
Whatever they come
yeah.
out. Yeah. That's
fine.
That's fine. Yeah.
We definitely, you know, I think the NAEP is what you're asking for. I
right.
I don't think it's SBAC.
No, the NAEP.
It's actually a movement. National to remove that back.
Right. I'm not interested in that.
I'm going to pivot. And Deborah, you're next on the agenda. If you want to come sit in the hot seat so everyone can hear you, because I know that it doesn't always pick up our voice when we're sitting far away. And then I'll be back.
Okay.
The three most improved states
sure.
in terms of.
No,
that's
fine.
Okay.
Yeah, real good. No, you're fine.
Look at that. They've been in the bottom of the barrel for so long.
That's the big shortcut.
Yeah. Good for them. Good for the kids.
For the kids.
Yeah.
You know, they still are the poorest of the state.
By a margin, yeah.
When I read the reports, I couldn't believe my
eyes.
The real.
And I can see it.
And there it is.
We got it. We're got it.
I couldn't see it though.
Oh.
All right. Hello. Good evening. We are going to talk about. And my computer just froze. Let me try that again. There we go. All right. So we are talking about the February monthly report as of February 28th, which represents 8 months or 66.66% of the fiscal year. As of February 28th, our total revenues collected are $61,899,746. Compared to our preliminary annual budget of $61,170,392, which represents 101.19% of the total budget. We have exceeded our projected revenue for this year, which is great. And we are still expected to receive more as we move forward. So, you know, we're still going to collect some funds.
Yeah, you said that, 64, something like this.
Yep. So overall, we are doing well with our receivables. State funding, we are at 92.99% of the full budget, with the majority of the remainings expected very soon. Local revenue has significantly outperformed, and we're at 112. And then our federal funds have also exceeded our expectation by 113%. So we're doing really well there. In this, I'm going to move this out of the way. Here we go. So our local funds, we received $30,046. Other local funding that we received was $7,790. And within that, there was $22 for the school, $126 for food service, and $7,643 for transportation. Before and after care received $18,858. School activities, $970. Other funding that we received, which is part of state funding, was $190,609. Within that, we received professional accountability and instructional advancement money of $20,000, the literacy emergency of $80,935, the Christina settlement, $47,567, homeless transportation, which was $1,323, and our English acquisitions of $40,784.
I'm feeling it's going to be heartbreaking, but what is homeless transport?
So we do have some families that are not able to get to a bus hub or...
That's very good. That was the answer.
Yes. Okay. So we do get funding for that, and we do have a company that will pick them up from where they are to bring them to school.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep.
Shame that we have that.
Yep. And we did receive our money from EFF, which was $3,036,751. For our expenditures, total budgeted expenditures include contingency or $51,695,206. Year to date, we have spent $37,249,570 with an additional $527,000 in encumbrances. Combined, we are at 71.69% of the total budget, pretty close to where we were last year. Last year, we were at 70%. Salaries and benefits, which represents the largest portion of our expenses, are in line with the expectations at about 68%, and everything else is tracking along nicely. So I do have, get this to work. It's not running, there we go.
It's fine, yeah.
So our web report, I did change it up a little bit. Everybody, the board wanted to see a little bit more of a breakdown as to and what everything, all the categories were. So I have broken it out a little more so that it's a little more clear. I do still have another miscellaneous category. That is expenses that we've had from Building 27. So I kind of pulled all that out. It's not a whole 100% because obviously we spent a lot more than that. But for supplies that we have purchased for 27 to run the school, I moved that down there so that we can see for clarity what all of that was.
So the 761,000, that's all 27?
Yes.
I think we have some from federal funds we are just receiving in the future, or it's negative, I guess.
Federal funds?
Remaining.
Federal
and local funds, it's parentheses.
Yeah, we've pretty much gotten most of what we're going to get there.
Okay.
So we'll still be getting some more state funds as well. And then we're going to get a lot more local funds because we're still going to be receiving money for before and after care, transportation, food service, rentals for the Grail, St. Thomas, things like that. So I do expect us to come in much higher. We are right now, our cash position, we are at 75 days cash on hand, which exceeds our bond covenant of 60 days. So overall, we are in a very strong position. I'm really happy with where we're at and looking to see where we go.
Deb, refresh my memory. Debt service 240 bond 609. These two items. The bond, I understand, 609, that's what we pay for the bond, right? The repayment?
Yes.
Okay. And the debt service is?
St. Thomas.
Okay.
And
debt service for St. Thomas is?
Actually, no. The debt service is other loans that we have.
It's a combination of things, including St. Thomas, probably?
Yeah.
That much, huh?
Yeah.
School bus loans.
School bus loans.
Okay, so you have everything in it?
Yes.
Okay.
Do we have much of a contingency fund for the increase in fuel prices?
So right now, we are looking at a surplus of $8 million. So, yeah.
We should budget for $4 a gallon.
We do. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Now the positive side is propane is only 5
Nice.
But it's got to be your own train. Yeah. They're no longer. Expenditure to be lower on the budget area there. Actually, we were below budget in several areas. We need to pull out of the budget.
I heard, and thank you to the senior leadership team for sitting through that and putting up with it, because it actually adds a significant amount of value. So. Thank you.
Yeah, it was a good exercise for the team to see both where the money is spent and how we accumulate it, and you know, we've been so kind of go into the movie and how do we code, what impact that has on the web report, how even the one person to the other, a decision in coding is different from one individual to another, you end up with costs in the wrong areas because you're making a discretionary decision on how to code something, and then those categories don't match the categories that are on the budget. Even the summary report doesn't match the categories that are on the budget, so it doesn't paint the whole picture. So we did an entire audit of the entire budget so that we know where every single penny is going and where it's coming, and when it's coming, and how it's coming, and everything in between. So we feel pretty good about our budget that we did next year. Confident, and we're really happy that we're coming above projection.
That's good.
The revenue side.
Sounds good.
Love the new web report. Thank you very much for taking serious ownership of that. I appreciate it. Well, we all do. Everybody benefits from it.
Thanks.
Any questions? I'd love a motion to set the web report as presented.
Make a motion.
Thank you. Looking for a second?
Yeah, second.
All right, beautiful.
I think you said yours.
All right, we'll give it to you. Any discussion? All right, call for a vote. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
You're okay.
Oh my God. Yes. Am I in your space?
No opposed.
Really hearing the conversation none. On me. So you need your space.
Motion passed.
Yeah.
And we're back.
All right. It's me. I'm back. All right. We Eric Stewart is our overseeing all of our climate and culture K-12. So he's going to be providing monthly updates at the board meeting as well. I am reporting out for him today, just so you guys are aware. We are reinforcing our core values across all grade levels. As you can see here, we have our pillars, but we are further breaking down into I want to call them their core values. So we have our three pillars, and then we're going to have five core values that are going to go with that. And we will share those with all of you so that you're able to see where we're aligned academically and behaviorally. The implementation is roughly about 12 weeks. We're going to be rolling out affirmations through daily announcements where students are going to say those core values together in class. There's going to be a student creed, we're calling it, and then there's going to be an educator creed. So we will share both of those with you, but it'd be great if you guys were able to participate in the educator creed as well, being that you guys are the board. We are going to share those all over campus, so you'll hear kids saying them, but we'll also see them in classrooms and throughout the building. And then currently he is meeting with administrators K-12 to integrate, we're calling it the Odyssey Way language, into classrooms, hallways, and school-wide systems, specifically looking at our behavior systems for tier one, tier two, and tier three, to make sure we're just using the same language, support systems are in place, and streamlining everything K-12. Did I miss anything for him? Because I know that you met with him. Okay.
Yeah, you can. I mean, if you want to pull it up, it would be a chair.
I don't have quick access to it. Stop sharing it now. Just hold on. Mm-hmm. You're going to email?
I'm looking.
Okay. I'll pull it up when we're ready. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to share again. Is Josh online? Oh, you didn't think, yeah. All right, I'll come back to it. Josh, I'm not sure if you're online, but if not, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. All right, I'm going to do it. The department is working to recruit and train additional drivers. He did report out his February on-time percentage for the bus routes. So for the high school and the middle school, for 840 routes that they completed, they were 99.7% accurate and on time. For intermediate and lower school, for 756 routes, they were 100% on time. And I would like to say the on time is within 10 minutes. Is that correct?
Sure.
Yes.
Remember when we were first asked by parents to present those numbers, and even you were amazed at how close it was to 100% on time.
Mm-hmm. And there are outliers and things happen, but that's a fantastic statistic he provided. Yeah. Right?
It's 100%. No, that's no mind. You give me something.
Fortunately, no one here knows what it was like before we had our own buses, but that's a good thing.
It's a different time.
It was. The dark days of transit.
The dark ages.
I can't even imagine.
I'm going to provide the special education update for Sun. This Friday, she is providing specific professional development for our spec ed teachers, which I'm really excited about because these days are, you know, few and far between throughout the year. But she's able to get her whole special education team together, K through 12. And they partnered with the University of Delaware as well to provide some of the support. So part of the day, they're going to be doing individual work with a reflection tool, looking at their IEPs and reflecting on how they're writing them. For small groups, they're going to be looking at patterns and themes. For a skill booster, they're going to be leveling up their IEP quality to make sure that we're providing the best quality for our students and our parents. Then they have some independent practice about upcoming IEPs and a final reflection. So she has a whole day planned. I know everyone's like super excited to get together as like a whole spec ed team K-12. For her special education coordinators, which we have one in every building, that's the old name used to be the educational diagnostician. Yes. So we call them the EDs, but the proper term is spec ed coordinators. They're providing counseling service on IEPs and working on reporting at Infinite Campus. So we used to use PowerSchool and we switched to Infinite Campus last year. A lot of the paperwork and behind the scenes for IEPs, it's a little bit more complicated. So they're spending a lot of time making sure that everything's
updated. How many students we have on IEPs right now?
How many?
Yes. Approximately.
300. Yeah, 300-ish.
300.
Yeah.
Right around different.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Any school has more burden than other, like lower school, middle school on IEPs?
I would say the intermediate has a heavy caseload, particularly fourth and fifth grade.
That's probably the toughest one too, right?
Mm-hmm. And thinking of...
I think the toughest one is lower.
Is it?
Because they don't have the ability to express it. And so the challenge is for the educators to try to find the right environment for them. It takes up it, absorb it, and they'll have it.
Okay.
And it's just a very difficult problem to navigate, especially as more and more parents continue to demand that their kids get tested before their cognitive development lines at all with that. Academically completely program. There's very clear cases where you have people that are not within the realm of what the normal learning environment work with, and there's completely inappropriate requests that we get. I would say upward of 80% of our requests in lower school are inappropriate requests. Where you're looking at behavioral issues and the stages of things are still carrying over from factors that have nothing to do.
So we're throwing extra resources at that place?
We are throwing a lot of resources. We're actually looking at an entire different model of support next year to enhance
mm-hmm.
So we create a barrier between go into the IB process and provide the proper supports to the student. It doesn't require, because there's so many legal requirements that come along with an IB, sure. Right? And what happens is that really restricts your ability to use the resources in the way that you deem necessary, because there's so many different ways that we approach the IB process. So this is a we're excited about it. We're working on it.
Challenging.
It's very challenging, and it's going to cost us more money up front, but we feel like it's going to be money well spent.
That's
it's basically a co-teach model that will have somebody who's a specialist, a behavioral specialist, with a licensed multiple grade teacher that are working with small groups over extended periods of time.
So you're looking at how many hires for that?
It would be at least 2 hires per building.
There's going to be people from outside and specialists hired by
behavioral specific and or very specific need-based specialists.
Have this position announced or just?
No.
Oh, yes.
No, I haven't finished.
You haven't been? Okay, that's fine. Sounds very challenging, okay? And the school is very big, 800. So you may need more than 2.
Part of it, the other part of it is that we have to be honest with ourselves and say that in order to serve these kids
mm-hmm.
and help them the way they need, we also need to be serving the rest of their class
yeah.
as well. And so right now there seems to be imbalance. It isn't obviously imbalance. It's an imbalance where we're spending 60 to 80% of resources on 10% of kids. Right? So there has to be a way to give those kids what they need while also giving everybody else what they need without sacrificing. It shouldn't be a zero-sum game, is what I'm saying.
Is this different from what you've done in the past? I know pre-COVID, there were classrooms that had 2 teachers that had a lot of kids in that class that had IEPs. Is this different from that? Yeah, or okay.
Different because it's not IEP.
Okay.
It's okay. Precisely the buffer to say, why don't we try something different first
okay.
before we try to put labels
and okay. So it's trying to prevent them from moving into like
I won't
requesting.
Say that,
okay.
But I would say in trying to provide the resources in such a way that will help the student as best we can
okay.
as an alternative
okay.
to the IEP process.
Okay.
So is it reasonable to say you need at least 2?
Is it reasonable to say that you're going to need
2 at least? 2 yeah, because now you say. Yeah. That's
right. 2 more teachers.
Yes.
4 more teachers altogether.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a large ask. I think our budget can handle it, and I'll let you know. I'll let you know if we can
yeah.
handle it.
And in a way, it'll prevent, not prevent. It'll enable the kids to have the tools that they need to succeed, rather than sending them through the IEP process.
Right.
Which can also give them the tools they need. Don't get me wrong. What it will do is the goal of it is to get them back to mainstream,
right?
Not to create a diagnosis. That's not my game. I don't know anything about that. I didn't play that in school.
Right.
What I do know is that we can provide support that can get them back into the mainstream, get them where they need to be, so they can be. And what I'm saying is that in my personal observation, it's not, again, I'm not speaking to what other schools do. I'm not speaking to the country or anything like that. In my experience, if we create a resource where we can support kids until they can get to the mainstream, we can do that more successfully than putting a permanent plan that's very hard to exit out of, which is the IEP process.
Right.
And so it's not preventing it. It's not circumventing it. It's providing a buffer for what's really tangibly happening in classrooms in the United States. There are behavioral issues that are preventing the teachers from doing what they need to be doing. It doesn't necessarily mean it requires an IEP.
Oh, that's the right approach. Good luck.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you're on the right path.
Yep.
I think we're going to get there. It's unprecedented. It hasn't been done before. But I like this phrase, to speak frankly, in this generation that has been tied into technology from the beginning, the key is to teach them how to behave without technology. That, when you got 2 parents at home that are working, and
grandma's doing this or whatever, and the only thing that you have as a resource is put them in front of a screen or in front of the television, you're not doing any service to that. So we're going to have to physically take the time to teach how to behave. We try to do it through SEL classes and stuff like that, but that doesn't, again, you're broadcasting one message where 80% of the people don't need that message. Right?
Yeah.
Where that message is falling on deaf ears. Let's broadcast the message. Let's teach behavior. Do we need to teach behavior? And let's provide the skills that we need to the ones that need that so they can find that success in that general environment. And it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us, but I think it's going to cost us a lot more than not. It is costing us a lot.
Yeah.
And you should add to add subtract numbers without the, right. These, because many of them have no clue about that. Okay.
But the chance for the return on that investment is definitely worth the effort.
I believe yeah. It's also worth the effort to the outcomes of all the rest of the kids.
Yeah.
And making sure that everybody is being challenged at the level of issue. Yeah.
Sorry, we did.
No, I think it's fantastic. I'm going to shift gears to IT. So I will give the update for Dino. And I like doing this. Sometimes I feel like it keeps me in the loop on that end. So IT has been in, they started working on the immersion school second floor, where they are pulling cables in the next 2 weeks to make sure that we are completely wired prior to construction starting. They have installed the huddle game cameras on top of the press box for field 2 coverage. So if you guys know where the press box is, it's going to be on top of there. Huddle cameras for baseball and softball fields, which are closer to the intermediate school, still require some construction and costs have not been finalized yet. So they're still working on those. He did install new front door intercoms and entrance systems for building 27. And he's working on doing the same thing for building 26 and 22, which will be completed this year. You guys have heard of the VR headsets. We have 13 of them, and they have been deployed by Matt Sturdivant. He is our sixth grade science teacher, but he is also our instructional coach for technology. So he does that as an EPR position, which is super helpful because sometimes we get all these new technology gadgets, and it's great to see people spend some time to put them to use. So he is starting to use them with students. And if you are a person who does not do well in roller coasters, I recommend you don't try them. But if you can handle it and would like to try it out sometime, we're going to showcase them at our academic fair in May. So we will have them on display for students to try out. We are beginning Chromebook purchases for next year. Dino is looking to replace about 25% of them on campus, K-12, knowing that many of them have been aged or we are removing them for damage, which is like a typical timeline. He is also working with the business office and HR to implement a time tracking or like a punch clock solution for our substitutes and our part-time employees. The system is being vetted for HR onboarding solutions, which is helpful. And there's more information to come about that.
Building 27 with all the construction and the IT guys pulling the cabling. Did you guys get a quote on what that would have cost if we had outsourced the cable pulling? Is it 10, 20 grand we saved by having our team do it?
What we've done now.
Yeah. But typically that's not something a school can do. So I just, it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to find out.
Usually infrastructure upgrade at that level, building of that nature, would be between $100,000 and $200,000.
Yeah, because I don't know how much cable they're pulling. But like you guys save money by refurbing the HVAC units on the roof, it'd be nice to be able to quantify what we're saving by having our team do that, because it's a tangible number we don't have to spend.
I would also add that there's a quantifiable saving, and I'll give you that number by not doing a design build model. So what that means is that unlike some other charter programs where they hire a contractor or a company or a firm to take you from your design all the way through the construction and you just write them a check, we scrutinize every single nut and bolt and wire and paint color and contractor and everything that goes through there, and save a significant amount of money doing that. And that easily, I mean, we know macroscopically that it saved over $2 million.
Is this OCS has historically stretched every dollar further than anybody could have thought we could, from when we were, you know, they rehabbed the first building through now. So it'd be nice to be able to quantifiably pat yourself on the back as you say, significant chunks of money. So that we,
because the initial design and the design model approach would have been $10 million for that. We're going to come in well under five.
And that's money we can spend on educators and programs, which is much better than having
a unbelievable amount. It's a lot more work because you have to do your day-to-day work and then do all of that work too. But ultimately, you know, that's what Evan does very well.
Yeah, it's an extra burden, but also an extra expectation that you guys just do, because that's how we do things. Part of the it's part of the ethos.
On the fine savings, on the year that we get $350,000 back.
So exactly.
That they have to give you back money because you saved more than we even thought.
Oh, wait, I know that one. I took my dog for surgery and I paid $7,500. And they said, wait, would you like, it came in under the estimate. How would you like that credited back? I'm like, well, how much? $24. Yeah, put that back on my card.
Right. So,
thank you
for that.
Thank you.
It's been
I have one more thing that was like, I don't know if the high school announcements came through, but. We want to recognize the high school because we have platinum status on APs for a college organization, and at the national, at the top level that you can earn for AP.
What does that mean?
Platinum status. There's gold status, there's silver status, there's platinum. And specifically, it has to do with our access to AP, the college organization.
Yeah, it's
really nice. Yeah,
so it's the number of courses and the depth of courses and that kind of thing. Nice. Okay, we're back.
Okay, so HR update. We had our recruiting fair. What was with Preview Night, it was a huge success. We had upwards of 60 folks register and almost, I would say, about 50 attend. We had close to 20 folks, thank you. Huge shout out to everyone who helped. And we just had people from APs to educators to custodians to bus drivers. And I would say a good six of them were highly qualified, passed through. Our high school, I believe, has already extended or will be extending an offer to an ELE, highly qualified ELE teacher. So it was great. I love doing that. It's great.
That's awesome.
Everybody gets to come and just really get a feel for the organization and what it's like to be part of it. So, yep. Lots of jobs are already posted for next year. We're already doing the recruiting for that. I'm sure Ioana will talk a little bit about something special that she did this morning. But we did extend our first offer to our to a Greek teacher, J1, and she accepted. So highly qualified. We're very excited about that for next year.
Already or senior and your
teacher? She's a brand new teacher.
And this is a brand new teacher.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Coming on a visa.
Oh,
already accepted. First one.
Mid-March. Nice.
Yes. Very exciting. Yep. Yes. The APs for the immersion school have both been posted. They've been up for 2 weeks now. So the applications are being reviewed and we will begin the interview selection process. Prompts will go out next week for that. And then we have talent investment strategies that I'm very excited about. This has been a long time coming. It's a group effort. We're all working, but we have a Grow Your Own program, Power to Teacher state-sponsored program, is progressing to the launch stage for the spring. We have our LEA Leadership Pipeline program. The SLT session was held last week or the week before. It's all running together. I think that was a great success. And then we have three teacher leader professional learning sessions that took place in March that the CIA is overseeing, which has been
very well received. And tomorrow night I will be attending the residency night at Delaware Technical Community College. They have a plethora of folks who are interested in coming here and partnering with us, and they'll come in as interns and unpaid, which is nice. So the update for HR.
Can you really quickly, maybe you're doing on that, Kim, I just want to make sure the board understands what this is that we're doing. Could you talk a little bit about the teacher leader pipeline and the principal pipeline so they understand what need that's filling for the organization?
It's a great need. We are going to, we're providing the trajectory succession planning for future so that we can promote from within. We can create opportunities where people can actually have real life experiences in training and carrying out leadership so that when it's time and a position becomes available, they'll be prepared and ready to move into it.
It is specifically need that is part of the feedback that was given to me specifically about providing more tangible plans on how you have special planning and how you create pathway for longevity for our staff as their current role. So it's been something that's been in the works for quite some time. We wrote a grant for it.
$1 grant.
We won money for this as well, and we're investing tremendously in providing that.
And that's bringing in really good folks to train and help provide training to our current leaders too, to give them that support.
Who's doing the training?
Dave Santori.
From
his name correctly, I would say.
He used to work at Epidemic. He used to work with DOE at University of Delaware, and he has a consulting with he's been an educator for over 4 years. What we were faced with was a lot of teachers were not given opportunities for growth in a teaching position. And when you go to apply for a position, you say, what is your experience into a leadership position? They didn't have any. So we're trying to create more opportunities for teachers in-house so that they do have that experience. It's doing really well. So we had our first session in March, and we had over 45 teachers.
Mm-hmm. Very exciting.
Wow.
Long time coming.
That's nice.
It is.
It is nice because some people complain that don't have the chance at an opportunity. You know, everybody in business or anywhere else wants just to go higher and higher. That's
right.
Not for you. That's a good point. That's a good point.
But you've got over 40 who are actively interested, and now you've got a pathway to assist. That's great.
Yeah, and a lot of them are currently in their leadership program or have a master's or working towards a master's in some sort of other degree, whether it's reading, curriculum instruction, various pathways.
And we all benefit by
hiring
within.
Yeah. Awesome. Some of the teachers should feel that in any case, I leave the school for any reason, I get the better thing. I'm qualified. I have something more than the average teacher existing. And that's something that may be considered because, all of us, we change up one way or another. So it's good to go somewhere else and say, yes, this happened there and qualified. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have you talked about this one?
Sure.
Yeah, this is facilities.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm going to have you sit here.
Facilities update. The team completed, it's actually already completed. We used 3 pallets, which was 163 50-pound bags of street patch to repair the campus and roads. We know that this is just patch. We did this last summer around Building 20, not only the car line behind Building 20, but then the car line through the high school. So we patched and we sprayed it twice. We are planning on building that into the budget for the car line. We know that it's just a patch, and some of those patches may come up throughout campus, but around Building 20 and around Building 23's car line, it has not come up because we sprayed it twice. So I just wanted to add that caveat. We are creating 2 high school biology classrooms that already started. Facilities will do 80% of that facelift, so we're keeping 80% of that in-house. We are subcontracting some of the electrical and plumbing work out, and it is set to be completed the end of May. So looking forward to those.
Right.
Looking forward to those classrooms.
It was looking beautiful.
We We did it for the 2020 year updates.
You see the dumpster out there? That's our dumpster.
Who handles waste from our labs?
That I do not know. Answer that question. Waste?
If there's any waste from the bio lab or any chemistry, somebody can handle.
I can share that if you want me to. We are subcontracted with a chemical removal company through DOE.
Okay. And you have a record of all the manifest on file?
And all of our chemicals in-house, we have been worried, and they have to be separate in like the lock storage, and for that being accounted for.
So you made the lab. What about just the make of the lab? Somebody has, it's just water. Sometimes get something on your face, guys. Just wash your face and everything.
There's an eye wash station. There will be an eye wash station in both classrooms. Yes.
I had this in the lab. I was working, okay? Is it vital, very crucial.
Okay. Sure. Like,
the health and the well-being of the personnel, any person. Those, you know, anyways. Good.
Thank you. Moving to food service. Food service is catering the CS teachers with their biannual teacher conference dinner sponsored by the PTO. That is tomorrow evening. And food service is also collaborating with the high school BPA fundraising by pre-ordering a Break Your Fast meal for all OCS staff after they return from spring break. I believe it's the 14th of April. And they will be serving chicken souvlaki, buttered orzo, spanakopita, a cucumber, tomato salad, and tzatziki.
It's a great day to be on campus.
It is.
We're invited.
April 14th. You're definitely invited.
April 14th after the
and I believe, after the Greek Easter. I believe the cost is $14.
Yeah, $15.
Plate, and obviously the money goes to the BPA. Move on to fundraising. Jackie, you online?
No, Jackie is not celebrating. Okay. I will be doing Jackie's update, which is, she really wrote a book here. Lots of good things happening. Yep, chapter one. We'll start. So some events we had preview night last month for K through 12, and that was a great success. We had a significant amount of people show up. The employment fair was also hosted, which Renee spoke about on March 24th. So next Tuesday, we will be celebrating Greek Independence Day with a flag raising ceremony at Freedom Plaza in Wilmington with student, staff, administration, and elected officials. I don't know if we want to add anything to that about or Iwana.
I will add a little more, Juliana.
Okay. So we can, I think that was it, but if you want to talk about it more in your update, you can.
No, I'll be in Greece. Yeah. I'm celebrating the day in English anyway, but
yeah.
I'm leaving on Monday.
And as we also do not have school on March 25th, which is Wednesday, which is actually Greek Independence Day. We are hosting EFF on site for a campus tour after the event to showcase the work that we are doing K through 12. The Greek ambassador is also visiting Odyssey on Thursday, April 16th. So that is a save the date. We are
the new Greek ambassador.
Yeah, the new Greek ambassador. Yeah, so yeah, we have had a previous visitor, but this is a new Greek.
April 16th.
Yep.
New from like a couple of months ago?
A month
ago. He's very new, yeah, very recent.
Okay.
Very recent, yeah.
Odyssey Charter is also hosting our fourth annual gala on Saturday, April 25th at the Blue Vault Barn. We look forward to seeing all of you there in your best attire. I believe it is carnival theme. Masks encouraged.
Masks encouraged, and there's attracted them live music too.
Oh, so
the live music plays the whole night.
Great.
Awesome.
The Philadelphia Greek Parade is being held on April 26th this year, and we will have representation from the school at that event. Odyssey's golf outing is also happening on June 15th. We are hosting it at Dell Castle Golf Course this year and having an after-course celebration at Bottle and Cork in Pike Creek at the conclusion of the event. When it comes to marketing, we are partnering for an upgrade to the school website. So exciting.
This is great, with the launch date of June 2026. So I'm reading this live and this is excellent. We're excited to show off the new and improved website coming soon. I'm excited too. So this is great. Over spring break, we are also updating our building signs across campus to make them current and refreshed. This isn't in here, but I know we've also been looking for like a marquee sign as well, where it's like a digital sign. And for OCS Gala sponsorships are beginning to roll in. If you are interested in being a sponsor, please reach out to Jackie directly, or if you have specific contacts or if you know somebody who would be interested in being a donor, please reach out to Jackie because she can provide you with that information. Up to grants, the SUI grant representative will be on site to visit secondary health classrooms and programs on March 23rd. We talked about the principal pipeline. Odyssey was also awarded $60,000 for resident teachers for the 26-27 school year. Our team, which includes Ioana, Renee, Jackie, and myself, met with representatives from strategic staffing to begin the rollout of that project. So we're going to do a launch with the principals. We're going to start interviewing residents for next year, and then they'll be placed in our school. The K-5 CIA team and Jackie also attended a second bridge to practice professional learning, which goes back to our early literacy funding requirements, which is how we're paying for our teachers to get trained in science reading. For enrollment, Odyssey is looking strong for next year. Families have up until March 20th, so that is 2 days from now, to accept their enrollment. If families are still interested in applying to the school, they are eligible to do so. Through our enrollment strategy, we have been able to increase our acceptance rate to over 150% compared to this time last year. We are continuing to offer opportunities for students and families to learn more about what Odyssey has to offer by providing some on-site tours for families as well.
Joel, the DV's gonna sleep. Hey, one question about that. What are the criteria of accepting a student from any other school through Odyssey? What criteria there are?
It's just the lottery.
You
just apply.
Yeah. Just apply, and then anything has to do with the academic achievement in the previous, just apply.
Apply.
And if you have more.
There's no nothing about demographics, nothing about geographical location. There's no acceptance test.
More application than the available openings, students, what do you do?
It's a true lottery.
True lottery.
Okay.
I understand that. We are the true lottery school. So we take the 3,000 applicants, digitize it,
It's not a matter of who applies first or second. It's a matter of just if you like it or not, more or less, if you're above the limit.
If you're willing to apply, we'll put you in the lottery.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's why our population represents a true cross section of
the county. Yeah. Statistically, okay. That's fine.
Yeah. Lost my spot. We are continuing to offer opportunities to students and family to learn more about what Odyssey has to offer. Papa spoke to a group of fifth grade students last week and a group of eighth grade students last week. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So we found out that some of our fifth graders did not know. And their families, not just the computers themselves, their families did not understand what our honors program was. As a result of that, we found out that some of them were considering one of the public school honors programs. And so I really have to commend the fifth grade team and the intermediate school overall for assembling very quickly. I know we jumped on it right away. We changed the way that we do things in terms of informing kids honors. The process before for our school was to inform them, obviously wait until you get their final marking period grade, then tell them whether they qualify. We changed that process this year and said, well, we already have, for those fifth graders, 2 years of data from SBAC. We have 2 years of grades from them and 2.5 years worth of grades in classes. Why do we need to wait until we get the last marking period before they're either honors or they're not? They're going to not magically become honors in 3 more months. Actually, technically, testing season starts about a month and a half, so you're really kind of there or you're not. And so we were able to get the team together and assemble and decide.
And we got those letters out, hand delivered last Friday to those kids, and then sent them by mail as well. The officer was able to send them by mail as well, so that our parents in the fifth grade knew exactly what the offerings were. Then obviously I got in front of everybody and explained it to them as well. And we have a follow up meeting with them tomorrow night, with the parents to go over all of the specifics as well. So we spoke to the kids about it. Now we'll talk to the parents about it and send the letter home, and one by hand, one by mail, so that they do understand that. And we did not realize the impact that that's had.
That's great. How many parents did you have in your first meeting?
We have done parents.
Oh, you have done. Tomorrow. It's tomorrow night.
The meeting's tomorrow. It's a prime time because conferences are.
You would expect pretty much most of them or all of them come, right?
Yeah, and it's a virtual option as well.
That's good.
Very yeah, good. So it's a hybrid model. But what we do know is that every student received their letter.
Mm-hmm.
Every student received a letter. One of the letters explained the honor program. The other letter said that you were accepted into it. And then we also sent that to them as well. So we know that it got from our read. And then we sent a message to all families letting them know, please make sure you look at them in the backpack of your students, because there's a very important letter in there. And so I do believe that this is going to have a large impact.
Oh, it will be.
Yes. Would you please just send us the letter that explains the requirements? Oh, look. How it is.
Sure.
Because it's okay. You say, I will, it's fine, but I'm not saying anything because I'm aware from the other schools how they form the honor classes, which is different, I think. If you can just mail or just mail, text, whatever it is, just have an idea how the program works. May I ask us today, tomorrow? And this happens sometimes. What happens in the school? Mm-hmm. Okay, so it would be nice. Thanks.
So we're risking repeating that for the degree as well, just to make sure that our families know exactly what our offerings are. I was able to get in front of the eighth graders as well and have some very real conversations and honest conversations with them, and we had really good questions and answers. It was really quite enlightening.
I've heard some really good feedback from it that parents have really and kids have really, really liked it. There have been a few that have said it was too late, that in the future, you know, make sure it's done earlier, but I've heard great feedback.
Glad to hear that.
Yeah.
I heard feedback from the students as well. To quote one of the students, Mr. Pappas is cool. I would recommend next year we start the conversations even earlier, not the commitment, but the conversation to the with the parents.
And that's good. That's good feedback. Okay.
When I speak with them tomorrow, I will reiterate with them that it is not too late. And you have every right to change, because you can change all the way through September. Mm-hmm. That's the Delaware rule. So it's definitely not too late.
We know that all too well.
Yeah, we lose 80 to 100 kids a year because of that.
Oh, yeah.
So I can definitely change your mind and you can change your plan.
Sounds good.
But yeah, now that we know that that's a problem, address it immediately
Thank you.
Future would be a lot better.
I'm going to switch to athletics.
We're still talking about monies earned. There's one more that I want to talk about.
Okay, sorry.
So we wrote a scholarship application. Dr. Yarov and I wrote a scholarship application for our administrators. And we were awarded $41,850 for our administrators to go to the Harvard Institute for Superintendents and Principals. So Dr. Davis, Dr. Yarum, Ms. Calloway, Ms. Mervine, Ms. Blighty, Ms. Bouchard, Ms. Sheehan, Mr. Poppet, and Dr. Lakaku are all going to the Harvard Certificate Program. Ours is at the end of April, and the rest of the team is in the summer.
How many days is that?
It is a comprehensive 3-day program.
In Boston,
your stuff.
Yeah, really great.
And there's 9 of you, so it's like $4,500 a person.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
For the rest of the group, it will be in June or July.
The other kids will be in the library during the program.
Did you guys get some kind of certificate of completion for that?
Yeah,
it's
a certificate program. Yeah, that's
good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exciting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like going to Harvard. It's worth it. Both Harvard in the area, Harvard Square, and all these kinds of things. Beautiful. 14 years there, I know.
We have earned a couple of those before. We've never earned.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
Okay.
Nice work.
Ashley, are you online still?
Yes, I am.
Do you want to talk about athletics? Because I feel like this captures a lot of what's happening in the high school.
Sure, I can do that.
I didn't give you a heads up.
Yeah, it's fine. For our winter athletics, our high school women's basketball team, as Juliana mentioned earlier, qualified for our state tournament, which was the first time in Odyssey history that we have had a playoff team. So we were very excited for them. As a part of that team, Anastasia Thomas received second team all-conference honors and was selected to represent Odyssey in the blue and gold basketball game, which is an annual game that is held at UD. Miana Kirkaldi earned third team all-conference honors as well, and Alana Salverio was presented with a Scholar Athlete Award prior to the first round of the tournament, recognizing her excellence both on the court and in the classroom. So we were really proud of those ladies as they completed and competed for our team this year. For the spring, we are offering soccer for girls, track and field, softball, baseball, and boys volleyball. Tryouts were finalized this week. The baseball team just got back today, actually. It was their first day back at school from Myrtle Beach. So they competed against teams across the East Coast. They try to do this trip annually down to Myrtle Beach, and it's really a team bonding event as well as an opportunity for them to really hone their skills. The team will continue with their competitive schedule. They actually get to compete at Frawley Stadium, which is where the Blue Rocks play, on April 11th against Brandywine High School. And then we are also going to host our very first ever in-season baseball tournament, that is the Charter Cup, on April 24th and 25th at Odyssey, featuring charter schools from across Delaware. Both our middle school and high school volleyball teams will participate in a team bonding experience on March 28th. They are going to a volleyball match at Princeton University. And all of our spring sports teams will be working closely with their coaches while utilizing the Win the Day planners to help student athletes effectively balance academic responsibilities with their athletic commitments. They've been doing Win the Day through the health classes, and then also with all of our sports teams, all of our head coaches did that training as well. And then our facilities have been in high demand this spring. We are hosting a number of outside organizations, including the Delaware Football Club, Concord Soccer Club, Ursuline Academia, Heyday Athletics, and Chester County Storms AAU.
All this hosting is gratis, so it's free. They don't pay anything.
To play here?
Yeah.
When we host, actually, I'm gonna look to some help here. For I know that we do charge fees for people to play here. Yes, I don't have the details on that specifically, but I know that Matt Lauderman, our athletic director, is overseeing it. For the PTO, we have the spring fling on March 31st for students in K through 5, and that is their dance party to help raise funds for their year-end events and activities. We have the book fair from April 24th through May 1st. That is for students in grades K through 8. And we have the Guys and Girls in Ties and Pearls Dance. And that is for May. It looks like they're waiting on a confirmation date from the hall before finalizing the date. And Evan, you just want to talk loud?
We finalized the new safety and security door closure. This revolves around house training and lockdown. So right now, obviously, to get into this building, every single door is locked, classroom door is locked. We're adding a slide lock, which is secure to the floor. And it's really simple to do. Obviously, your door is shut and locked during the lockdown drill or a true lockdown. And then a metal piece will be slid into that is secured in the floor regularly. And that would be secured through the safety and security grant in every single year for next school year. So just adding the safety and security school.
Great.
Yes.
For out-of-state travel that needs approval, myself, Ioana, and Elias are going to Boston for the Harvard Institute on April 29th and returning on May 2nd, which is Saturday. BPA Nationals, we have middle school and high schools with a total of 55 students and chaperones from May 5th to 11th in Nashville, Tennessee. Ioana and Elias are also attending the UN in New York City on next Wednesday for the celebration of Greece. They're also going to Greece April 17th through the 24th. And that is with our middle school students. For the high school, for the sociology class, Meredith Hooper is taking her students to the Eastern State Penitentiary in Pennsylvania on April 23rd. And the high school end of the year trip, June 1st, is Dorney Park in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So looking for approval on those out-of-state travels.
And the volleyball team
to Princeton
on the 28th and
good
Longwood Gardens on the...
That may have been approved in a previous board meeting, the Princeton one.
I'd rather over-approve than this one.
Yeah, we can add them.
Now, these are all budgeted items already, right? They have been budgeted, all those things?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the students that are going to Greece, we're paying for them or they're paying?
That's a great question. I have Dr. Okaku respond to that.
I will tell you, Dimitri, there is a co-pay for the students. Look, we managed with Ilias, we found very low cost tickets and the school pays for a part of it and the families co-pay about 750 for each student. So it's a very low cost trip.
Ioana, how they will go to Greece? Which airliner? Because Emirates don't fly anymore.
It's $750. They're going by boat.
How? I'm not kidding. I'm not really kidding.
We go with Alitalia. We leave JFK. We go to Rome and from Rome to Athens and the same way back home.
You don't want to stack somewhere and then you come back.
We are very aware of
Yeah. I'm flying with United for the West. I mean, don't fly.
That's awesome.
The same approach that we used for building 27.
Yeah.
Again, we took control of the whole thing. The trip cost, if you were to go to with EF Tours or something like that, the major company that does this, what we've used in the past, would be $4,500.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And, our kids are going to go for $700.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fair.
And that includes also staying, accommodations.
That is correct.
And how about their meals? Are they on their own?
No, it's not that. You know, covered it all.
That's nice. Very nice. That's how many kids are you taking?
It's just really our first trip. It's
really well
done. And okay. They didn't just get picked. They had to apply. Uh-huh. They had to write essays. They
nice.
Had to do interviews. And they had to earn it in order to get on the trip. We hope to have a lot more kids able to go moving forward.
Yeah.
But it is literally unprecedented for to have an eighth grade trip to Greece coming out of school and to be able to fund it at this level.
Oh, yeah.
Equally unprecedented. Yeah.
That's roughly what most people would pay for airfare.
Right.
Oh, so not even
that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's phenomenal.
Listen, my airfare is $680, and then I upgrade the seats with about €789. You know, I think May. I don't know. That is May starts directly from Philadelphia to Athens.
Yeah, there's no
American airline.
There's no parent. The two of you.
Yeah,
that's enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you staying at the school?
They're staying with the kids. They're staying with host family.
With
host
family. Okay.
I'm staying at my house.
Yes, we're not staying at the school. We're staying in our houses, but our students will stay with families. So I have a meeting tomorrow with the principal from the school there. We're going to finalize the matching students and families. And then next week we have a meeting with parents and students in person and Zoom also for whoever cannot attend in person to discuss more details, the forms, you know, it's a lot of logistics. And we're going to guide them through everything to make sure that everybody feels comfortable and the students are feel safe. They are super excited about the opportunity.
That's right.
And
that,
I think
that is wonderful. That is wonderful. Thanks. Thank you guys for putting this together and being willing to chaperone it, because, you know.
And if you have any details of the itinerary, I'm sure they have things that they'll be doing at the school there on campus.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Every day.
Yeah.
I will tell you a few more about the program.
I hope the TSA will be improved.
Need a quick motion to approve the out-of-state travel.
A motion to approve it.
Absolutely. Second.
All right.
Give it to Costa.
Kind of to Costa. Any discussion? Call for a vote. All those in favor, aye. Any opposed? And so passed. Thank you very much.
All right, the next and last item for me is the calendar for the 26-27 school year. Mm-hmm. I did share that with all of you. I am not sharing it here as it is not public information. I will need after board approval. I do submit it to the state with our hourly attendance to make sure that we are in compliance. And then once it is approved by the state, then I share it with all staff and all families, which is usually around the beginning of April. They get back pretty quickly.
Okay.
I am asking to share the August calendar. Just August with the staff as of tomorrow with your approval, just so that people start making plans and booking flights and just it's important for a staff to know their first day back and for all students to know their first day back. And we said like, we'll save the date. So if you have any specific questions, I'm also happy to answer it. I usually do a video for the board, but I'm going to do a video for all staff. So you guys will see that video with the breakdown and screening.
13 days in November. I'm just saying, 13 days in November. That's it. But I actually looked at every single block.
And we actually put them at the bottom.
Look at October, though.
It is just so you guys know the process. We do it at the ELT level, and then we move it to the SLT level. We do it with the principal. I actually sit with Ashley the most, just because the hours are required for the high school. And then we meet with a teacher committee for feedback. And I know that Eva and Bridget are on that committee as well. And then we present it to you. I like to have as many eyes on it as possible.
And I know there's all kinds of requirements to go into every month, mandatory days off.
Yeah. And federal holidays. And
conference days and all that stuff. So I'm only kidding you.
Oh, I know.
Did you have any impact with the snowfall we had this last few weeks?
Say that one more time.
Any impact from the weather in the past month?
Will this year drag longer because of snow days?
We will have teachers in we have students doing an asynchronous day on Friday of this week, and then we will have, and that communication is coming from building level principals, and then we have a staff in-person day on June 17th, which is already built in.
Okay. And I know you built in days for the next calendar.
Yes. I'm also going to be working with other districts in the area to see how they approach it, to see how we can kind of streamline with them.
Yeah.
I know that they have a different method than we do.
But it's minimal, isn't it? Right?
We built it in properly.
We have two, I want to say two flex days for sure.
Yeah.
So, and those were captured.
The biggest problem is that there's a disconnect between what happened at state level and then what happened at school level shooting thing. And you don't want to get yourself in a position where you have to apply for a minor modification because you don't meet the minimum obligations of contractual days for teachers.
Right.
And so if you don't have some sort of a mechanism in place to be able to recover those days, then you're at the mercy of the Secretary of Education and the State Board of Education to officially approve those days as state of emergency to allow for us to extend the days.
Oh, boy.
So because neither of the days that you're referring to have been approved by the state at this time, although there has been precedent in the past to do so, that hasn't happened. We have to operate in the world that we're in today. So as a result of that, we do have these days on the calendar. If the Secretary of Education in the next 2 months says that, you know, we're approving the day, then there will not be an in-person day on the 17th, and everybody can go about their business.
But at this time, we don't have that information, so we have to operate as if we owe the day.
Okay.
For the days.
And the teachers are okay with it, right? Well,
It's out of our control. It's at the state level.
Their time with the they're ready to talk as well, but these are the things that are in the way.
Right. All right, so we all had a chance to review the calendar. Were there any questions or concerns? I'd love a motion to approve the calendar as presented to submit it to the state and let these students and parents know and the teachers know the August calendar back to school, as you suggested. Need a motion.
Approve the calendar.
We'll give that to Eva.
Okay.
Monica, we'll give you the second.
Okay.
All right, Monica. Any discussion? Hearing none, calling for a vote. All in favor?
Hi.
I appreciate it. No, not yet. It's on my bucket list for next summer.
Any opposed?
I might need to go with them in April. Put me on the approval list.
Hearing no opposed, motion passes as suggested, as presented. Okay.
All right. No? That is it for the executive summary.
Okay.
Is there enough to go to that top?
I did. That was very verbal.
Yeah.
So we're 3 weeks into second floor building 27. I say that because we're only going to do two more board meetings for that building tenant.
Wow.
So we're probably 12 weeks out. That building is finished. So the for is that our date that I gave them? And they said probably the first week of June or the. Put it up here. You do have a protocol contractors coming into the building where dumpsters are placed because there's not only car line, but also hold up to pick up our gator, but engine moving building back there. Just also ensuring access into that building that no contractors coming into building on 7th floor. We're going to run the 7th floor, and that school day is not interrupted. They've been doing demolition at night, and demolition is pretty much already finished. It was much up done for it.
Done before it started.
And then construction activities that have already started. They're framing out offices and classrooms already. They've already done, we look at the building as an eye, right? They've already completed half of the eye. And they're moving to the center of the building. They're doing HVAC work, duct work. And again, the project remains on schedule. The first week of June. I have not had a committee meeting yet, and I do apologize because I was waiting. A lot of the spec and scope of the sequence of the building is already confirmed in the permit of the floor. I can tell them there's a bathroom partition, what dominant means every sheet over to the determinant. Three things that we will be talking about are fixing the playground, fencing, and size of fencing, and then selecting the color scheme for our classroom. Going to be in a path that is going to be embedded in a walkway behind local 27.
So, how many classrooms are you going to put upstairs?
I don't know that. More than down. So there are more than down there, but I will have to do that.
Okay. And I'd like to just commend the committee and project management of the whole building because we were having discussions around this time last year of how we would do construction during the following summer after the school opened, and you're going to be done before the summer. That's phenomenal.
I'm not going to say it, but I think we're planning for the teachers to move during professional development.
I'm saying it on record. We're looking to move all of our teachers during the PD weeks to make sure that everyone is in their classroom before they leave for the summer.
A little different than the move-in last year.
The second floor is going to be fully populated.
It will be completely filled.
How many students more upstairs?
Yep, so we'll have, I believe, and Ioana confirmed for me, we'll have it'll be K through 5, but K through 1 on the first floor.
Right.
And then 2nd through 5th on the second floor, including specialists.
Mm-hmm. So there will be a couple of hundred students upstairs.
Yes.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At least 4 classes per grade.
Yeah. So you need at least 12 to 14 classrooms upstairs.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 16 to 15.
It's also with like art, phys ed.
Okay. Music. Yeah, this is all this
including
is stuff. Yeah.
I'll get back on that.
Sorry. No, it's
I should know that now.
I was just counting in my mind. Okay. I think it's 16.
That's all.
We know that, right?
I know
the committee would have known that, but Kevin Matt. So it's okay.
We did know that.
It's
we're just looking at plan today.
So I'm going to ask one more question. What's the square footage of every classroom that you are able to pull out of there?
Average between 650 and 720.
That's very good.
Yeah. Not for big.
Yeah,
and the office space up there is ample.
So for the kindergartners downstairs, how big are their classrooms? Are they
the same?
The same, around seven.
Two of the classrooms that we're using right now, one is a conference room, uh-huh. And one is not to be the PTO sales floor that we have. So we're going to have that down there for K-5 as well too. So that can be positioned. They do. I mean, everything at the PTO does it brings in, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, $50,000
yeah.
in a quarter class, right? Mm-hmm. And still be down there K-5 and then another store.
And for bathrooms, you're going to keep the bathrooms on either side of the
yeah, bathroom and then extra teacher bathroom.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
The bathrooms are beautiful. They really are. They're so pretty.
They are.
Love the tile.
All right, on to degree program report.
Quick question, Julia. Please. The communication from building principals for the switch over to the Eastern Green Estate for that Friday.
Yes.
When is that coming in?
Either this afternoon or this evening. Some of them are sending it out at home. It's okay. Going to be for grades 3 through 8, it's going to be used on the semester. So,
okay.
You'll be receiving something if you're not already.
Thank you.
All right. Are you ready for the Greek program?
We are always ready for that.
Ωραία. Καλησπέρα. Take a deep breath because I have a lot to say. There are so many things happening in the Greek program. I will start from where Ilias finished about the informational events to our 5th and 8th graders. I had the opportunity also to speak to them, mainly to 8th graders, about the opportunities to study in Greece. And I presented them the programs that we have in Greece and are offered now to international students. And of course, I pointed out the tuition difference between the Greek tuition and the American tuition for a BA in USA. And the students were really, really interested in this pathway that we are creating, K-16 now. So this is not anymore K-12, it's K-16. For all these students who are interested to take in this pathway. I also said something to, it's a decision of us, to our eighth graders, immersion and non-immersion, because we spoke to our OHA students, that for next year, for ninth grade, we're going to open the program, the immersion program, to non-immersion OHA students based on their Greek language proficiency. So if we have current OHA students, non-immersion, who want to join the immersion, they will contact me and we're based on their level, we may accept them to the program in ninth grade for their high school. Going back to our testing period, because for the immersion program in secondary, in middle school for up to this year, it's a testing period for us, the state test, the AVAN test for immersion. And this year we had all three grade levels, so 6th, 7th, and 8th. The scale for this test, for the AVAN test, is from 1 to 9, but our students should score somewhere between 3 and 6. We would prefer 4 and up, but 3 and 6 is acceptable. The DOE expects from all immersion programs, not only the Greek, to show grow every year 0.5 from the previous year. So last year and this year, we have confirmed that our immersion program trends very well. We have exactly this 0.5 growth every year. And we had also many individual students trained much better. So we saw about 35 to 45, depending on the grade level, of students above this standard growth. And so we are very pleased with their results. And that's a test, just to give you a little bit an insight of the test. It's not like the Illinomathia test. It's not like the exams that they take in class. It's a very unique test because it tests their proficiency. So it's like, what can you produce with a language in a real situation? So you don't have time to prepare. You don't have a lot of time to think. What can you do with the language? So it's not easy. That's what I'm trying to say. And our students really perform very well. We have tests also for our non-immersion students, K-12, actually K-11. So all immersion homeroom teachers had their students take the diagnostic tests. And our non-immersion students took also tests that we created for the mid of the year, across grades and levels of proficiency in Greek. And these results informed our teachers on how to adjust their teaching from now until the end of the year to ensure that all students understand the content and also had and have enough opportunities to practice the new vocabulary, grammar, and all this. Changing page, I'm going to March because it's the Greek Heritage Month and we have several things that we celebrate, events to celebrate the month. We discussed already some of them. So the first one is, as we said, the March 24th, the event with the mayor that we have every year. This year we will have our 6th and 7th grade immersion students. And this year they have prepared really a program for us. So they're going to perform for about 15 minutes. For one song, we will have also live music at the plaza. And we will have songs, poems, and some readings from our students in Greek, of course. On March 26th, our immersion K-2 and our FLES K-3 will have the traditional small parade in school grounds, and parents are welcome, as always. Messages will go out from our two principals about this parade of our younger learners. On the day of the event, March 25th, Mr. Pappas and I will be in New York to celebrate with the Greek community there, an event organized by the consulate. And on March 30th, we added the dress down day to celebrate the Greek Heritage Month, K-2-8. Mm-hmm. We spoke about the trips, the collaboration that we have with PIRS, the American College of Greece. I just would like to remind us that it's not only us who go, we also are going to welcome a group of students from Greece, from PIRS. So this year we will have a group of 10 students, they are 7th graders, who are going to come from April 13 until the 19th. They will stay in a hotel like last year, and they will come to school every year with our students for the first half of the day, and then we will do field trips. In some field trips, we will have our 6th graders going with them. So our current 6th graders will be the contact group for this group from Greece. As for our trip to Greece, I heard a question about the program. The program is almost finalized. So we will have 3 days there where our students will start their morning at school and then we'll go to field trips. We're going to Acropolis, of course. We're going to go to visit the historical center of Athens. I asked, and I think it was possible to have them also go to a theatrical performance because theater in Greece is different than theater here, and I would like for them to have this experience. And then we will take 2 field trips. One is going to be to Sunio for a day, Cape Sunio, and the other one will go to Nafplio, which is the first capital of Greece. Recruiting. René, Ms. Beamer said something about the recruiting. This morning I had an event, a very nice event. It's the first time that I held this type of event. It was a Zoom event in collaboration with the National University of Athens and the University of Western Macedonia. They suggested our school and the work that we do here to their graduate students and their alumni. So we had more than 30 interested individuals who signed up, and then we had about 20 in our call today. The call lasted about an hour and a half. It was very interesting. They had nice questions, you know, really to the point questions about the school, the way we teach, so many things. And I received already 3 CVs from this group from the morning up to now. Yesterday, no, it was not yesterday. I forgot that this week is so busy. So today is a Wednesday. On Monday morning, I was invited in an event organized by the Study in Greece Committee. And actually, when I accepted, I didn't know who else would be there. So there was the Minister of Education. She spoke for the event. The Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs, the General Secretary of Greeks Abroad. And it was really nice because we presented the school, Odyssey. I had also because I was the only one from the charter community, I represented the charters community, and also the K-12 Greek education in the States. It was a very nice event. Odyssey was presented very well. It was successful, and I can tell you that after the event, I received emails from scholars, from professors from Greece and US, looking for more information about our school. So it was really successful.
Very nice.
That was online, right?
Online.
Online.
It was a hybrid event, Costa. The minister and the people from Greece were all together at the live, I mean, at the ministry. And all of us, we were about 20 from US, we were online.
Good, very good.
I think that's it. It was a really full month.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
If you want to show the students the Metro and Harrison, you should have taken them to Delphi.
Next time. The good thing about the trip, if you allow me to say that, is that we try to start a tradition for that and have every year 8th graders given this opportunity to go to Greece.
That is a phenomenal opportunity.
I'm kidding. The Temple of Poseidon.
All right.
The military post.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. There's too much.
Evan, CBOC?
CBOC, we met. Scott February. Bennett also did the web report. And then we go through PPARC transactions the same way that an auditor, I think it was the numbers 86. We talked a lot about the days of capital and educated people. And the CBOC about how we're with 80 days of cash on hand that we currently have.
Yeah.
It's required 65 by our bond holders, and then the state is 45. So we talked about that. How the financial metrics are so successful.
All right. Finance committee, I was sick, so we didn't have anything. However, what I did do is I caught up with Deborah and scheduled out meetings through July. So I'll post the dates, times, and locations for all those. Once they're on the calendar, then they actually officially have to happen. So regardless of how anybody's feeling. But again, thank you to the senior leadership team for sitting down with her all yesterday. She was very happy with the working group. So awesome. Any new business? I don't think we need an executive session unless something. Okay, good.
I was up at 3 o'clock to catch a flight and then finish my work so I could come back for this meeting.
Yeah.
And then I have to do it again tomorrow. So it's 7:42. I would love a motion for adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
That's okay. Good.
Thank you.
What together?
any discussion on that? Call for a vote. All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Meeting adjourned at 7:42. Thank you very much for the wonderful meeting.